DCC, my church, my home.
If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 26, and I want to continue in my part 2 of the Jingle Bell Hack Sermon Series. And if you weren't here last week, I'm sure you can see that sermon on Facebook or in one of the archives on our website or wherever. But I want to just talk a little bit this morning on Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And we'll probably get down to verse 38. All right? Everybody happy? Praise God. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Isn't that a great way? I mean, what an awesome word. What an awesome message that is. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." For with God, nothing will be impossible. I think I need you to look at somebody and tell them, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Praise God. Now, Father, I thank you for your word. As your word comes to us today, Lord, right now, I take authority over every distracting spirit right now, because we want this word to pierce every heart. We want this word, Lord, to minister to every heart, because your word alone has the power to do what needs to be done. And I thank you today that our ears are attentive, our spirits are alert. Right now, Father, I thank you for the word that comes into our lives, comes into our situations. And Lord, because your word inspires faith, I thank you for faith today. And I speak over this congregation that with God, all things are possible. Can you say amen? Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Hallelujah. As I was looking at this verse and just preparing, I just couldn't help by going over a couple of verses. And I want us just to pay attention to verse 26 and 27. And verse 26 begins by saying, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin that was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." I don't know about you, but when I look at that, I see two verses that are literally filled with specifics. I mean, if you can say amen to that. I mean, God is very specific when you read those two verses. He's specific about which month it is. He is specific about who his messenger is, who his angel is. He is specific about which city. He is specific about the area and the locality. He is specific about a woman, not just any woman, but it's a virgin woman who happened to be betrothed to a man. He is specific about the man. He said his name is Joseph. And he's specific about the background of Joseph because he says from the lineage of David. And he is sending his messenger to deliver a message from heaven. And what a message it is. I don't know about you, but when I read those two verses over and over again, it just reverberated in my spirit that there is nothing random, there is nothing haphazard, there is nothing erratic about God. God is into the details. He is a God of specifics. Can you say amen? I mean, he has a specific plan for a specific person or people who are located in specific places at a specific time. When you look at what God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, he said, "Before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew you. Before you were even born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Talk about details. Talk about specifics. Look at what David said about God, and he could only say this by way of revelation when you look at Psalm 139 and from verse 13. This is David speaking unto God. And he said, "Lord, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." Listen to verse 16. "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written." Look at somebody and tell them God is into the details. He is a God of specifics. Hallelujah. I mean, look at Jesus when he sees Zacchaeus up in the tree in Luke 19 and verse 5 in the New Living Translation. Luke 19 and verse 5. The Bible says that when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and said, "Oi, you up there. I don't know what your name is." No, he said, he looked up and called him by name. Jesus called him by name. "Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." In other words, he knew who Zacchaeus was and called him by name. God is a God of specifics, and he is into the details concerning your life, your marriage, your business, your family, your children. He is into the details because he is a God of specifics that pertains to you and your loved ones. Can you say amen? Amen. See, God not only knows where you are, he knows who you are, he knows what you are going through, he knows why you're going through it, he knows how you feel about it. As a matter of fact, family, I'm here to tell you that he knows you, God knows you better than you know yourself. And he cares about you personally. Why? Because he is a God of specifics. Look at somebody and tell them God is into the details. He is a God of specifics. See, I'm here to encourage you this morning. It's what I sense the Lord wanting me to do today. I'm here to tell somebody God has not forgotten you. God has not bypassed you. He loves you and is very specific about his intentions and purposes for you. Maybe you might be afraid to get close to Jesus today because you think, well, he's going to scold you for all the things that you've done wrong. But I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus wants to affirm you. He wants to let you know how much he loves you. Can I get an amen? Let's look at what he says to Isaiah. And this is a powerful verse of scripture. Isaiah 49 verse 14 in the New Living Translation. Isaiah 49, powerful verse of scripture. And so in verse 14, Isaiah 49, New Living Translation, verse 14 says, "Yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us." Maybe you put your name on there. "Oh, yet the Durban Christian Center says, the Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us." Huh? But look at verse 15. "Never." Hallelujah. "Never." And then he goes on. "Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands." Hallelujah. In other words, Isaiah reminds us, yes, it is possible for you and I to forget about each other. Yes, it is possible for you and I to let each other down. Yes, it is possible for you and I to disappoint one another. It's possible because of our humanity, because of our weaknesses, because of our failures. But I'm here to tell you, child of God, it is not possible for God to forget you and to let you down. As a matter of fact, he says never. He says, "Never. I will never forget you." A mother might forget a child. A father might forget his son. But God will never. God will never. God will never. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. Maybe you feel like God has forgotten you. But I'm here to tell you, the word that he gave to Isaiah is the word that he's giving to you today. He says, "I will never forget you." Can you say amen? Amen? Lift your hands and say, "God will never forget me. He will never ever let me down." As a matter of fact, Isaiah says that he has written our names on the palms of his hands. God has written your name on the palms of his hands. Hallelujah. When Jesus died on the cross, his arms were stretched out, but the Bible also tells us his hands were open. And we know that God is an open-handed God. How do I know that? Because there are scriptures. Psalm 104:28 says, New King James Version, Psalm 104:28 says, "What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, and they," that's you and me, "are filled with" what? Filled with? Filled with? God opens his hands and we are filled with what? God opens his hands and we are filled with what? Psalm 145 and verse 16 says, 145 and verse 16 says, "You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." Are you living this morning? Some of you are not sure. Take a deep breath in. Breathe out. You're living. And God says, "My hand is open towards you. And if my hand is open towards you, I will satisfy every one of your desires." Lift your hands and say, "God's hands are open toward me. And he will satisfy every one of my desires." He will satisfy every one of my desire. Look at somebody and tell them, "God's hands open towards you, and he will satisfy every one of your desires." Hallelujah. Whatever the Father does, the Son does too. The Father's hands are open toward you and I. That means there's an open invitation. That means if nobody ever accepted you or wants to accept you, I have good news for you. The Father's hands are open towards you, which means he will lovingly accept you. Hallelujah. There is an open invitation. He says, "Come and drink, you who are thirsty. Come to me, you who are weary and tired, and I will give you rest. Come and taste of the wine that I will give you." Hallelujah. I'll never forget the one time, this was many years back, when I got saved, my my uncles and family members, they kind of like, you know, they didn't believe all this thing. And they always knew me as the young, my name, they called me Joe, sometimes Jojo, but Joe. And so they knew my background. And so when I got saved, they're like looking at me through skeptical eyes and you know, not really believing that I'm born again. Anyway, many years have gone past, and I'll never forget the one day my one uncle, every so often he loves to tease and mock me about my faith and what I believe in. And so he said, "Man, I've just come back from Cape Town." I said, "Oh, nice, uncle. Did you enjoy it there?" "Oh, yeah, got good wine there, fantastic wine." Now, he knows I don't drink, so he's just like needling me. I said, "Yeah, there's some great vineyards there, great vineyards. I mean, Stellenbosch, all that area, great vineyards, you know. And I believe there is certain wine." And he said, "Yeah, great wine, man, great." And he's like just needling me, just wanting to see what my reaction is. And so out of the blue, I just said, "Man, but have you tasted this new wine?" It just came out of me. I said, but uncle, have you tasted this new wine?" His eyes opened wide. He said, "No, but I've heard of this new wine. Can you tell me about this new wine?" Hallelujah. But you see, Jesus does what the Father does. His hands are open toward you and I. And that also speaks about his generosity and liberality. I don't know about you. I don't serve a schnoop, stingy God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But his hands are open. Why? Because nails pierced his hands. Not only that, his hands were open so that the Father could see your name and my name. When the soldiers hammered the nails through Jesus' hand, your name and my name was engraved there. Do you know that when we get to heaven, there will be no scars on your body, no scars on my body? There won't be nail wounds in our hands or anybody else's hands or anybody else's body. Nobody in heaven will carry the scars except Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus will forever carry the scars of our names. And those scars are a continual reminder of you and I. That's why it is impossible for God to forget us. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at somebody, tell them, God will never forget you. Amen. Now, what I like about these two verses that I've read is you can see that God is very specific, right? I mean, he's giving all these details. In other words, God is into the details and God is very specific. He is very specific and intentional and purposed about reaching every heart. God was very specific about redeeming mankind back to himself. And he was specific by sending his son Jesus in the form of a human being, all right, to redeem mankind back to himself. Jesus was very specific in his ministry. Hallelujah. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to redeem mankind back to God. He came to break the curse of sin over man's life. Hallelujah. The Bible says, "For this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Can you say amen? Amen. So God is a God of details. He is a God of specifics. And he wants you and I to be specific. Look at somebody and tell them, God is a God of specifics. And he wants you to be specific as well. So what does that mean? That means that your faith must be specific. How many of you know that if your faith is all over the place, it's difficult for your faith to work? Your faith has got to be specific. Well, I'm trusting God for a wife. Well, what sort of a wife? A tall wife, a short wife, a wife with long hair, a wife with short hair, a wife with no hair. What kind of a wife are you looking for? I'm trusting God for a job, Pastor. Well, what kind of a job are you looking for? Your faith has got to be specific. The prayers that you pray have got to be specific. Hallelujah. Come on. I mean, listen, Jesus looked at blind Bartimaeus. He could see the guy was blind. Bartimaeus, Mr. Bartimaeus, what would you like me to do for you? Oh, Rabboni, teacher, that I would receive my sight. Yeah, I know, Bartimaeus, you're blind, but I need you to vocalize the specifics of your faith. I need your prayer to be specific. Exactly what would you like me to do? I know you're blind, but do you want some mooty for your behind? Because maybe it's a bit chafed from sitting on the sidewalk for too long. Do you need another new walking stick? Because the one that you have is a bit old. Maybe you'd like a blind dog for, you know, those dogs for the blind. How specific is your faith? When God spoke to Joshua in Joshua 1, he said, Moses is dead now. Get up, because this is what I am going to do for you. The land that you're going in, let me be specific about the land. It ranges from the Great Sea to the land of the Hittites to the mountains to here. God was very, why? Because your faith has to be specific. Our prayers have got to be specific. Listen, your walk with God has got to be specific. When you talk to God, you've got to be specific. Your thinking must be specific. Our worship must be specific. Our giving must be specific. Our serving must be. Even your vision and your mission in life must be specific. Look at somebody and tell them God is into the details. He is a God of specifics. Do you remember when Naaman, who was the commander of the Syrian army? What a great captain he was. What a great commander he was. As a matter of fact, all of his fame went far and wide because of the formidable commander that he was. He caused Syria to win many, many wars. And there were reports about the way that he commanded, the way that he won and caused the Syrians to be victorious. But the Bible says what? He had leprosy. There was a problem. And so he gets to hear about, through his Jewish maid, that there's a prophet in the land. And so he thinks, you know what? I'm going to get this prophet to come and pray for me. And what does the man of God do? He sends a servant to Naaman. And Naaman is horrified that the servant would come. Doesn't the servant know? Doesn't the man of God know? I am the commander of the Syrian army. I'm famous. I'm well known. Anyways, he doesn't like that, but he doesn't like it even more when the servant says, you need to go to the River Jordan and baptize and dip yourself 7 times there. He is furious. But the message was specific. The word was specific. Can I not go to the rivers in my country that are cleaner and better? Look at somebody and tell them, God is into the details. When Naaman responded, amen, he was healed. So what am I trying to say? I'm saying to you that God is into the details. He is a God of specifics, and you and I ought to be specific as well. Can you say amen? Now I want to just talk a little bit about some practical things, because what are you planning for 2018? And how are you planning to achieve it in 2018? How's it going to happen? Is it just going to fall out of the sky? If you are not specific and intentional, it'll not happen. Can I get an amen? So what are some of the hacks on being specific? You heard Auntie Bells talking about uncluttering your life. I want to talk about that this morning, uncluttering your life. Christmas time is the best time to spring clean. A lot of people are at home. As a matter of fact, next week, I think we are going to empty our garage. Our garage is filled with all kinds of stuff. I've got 3 generations of coffee machines that have given up the ghost, and I'm not a mechanical guy, and I don't know if somebody thinks, you know, I'm going to suddenly know how which part is going to go in this part. We need a spring clean. We need to declutter, unclutter our garage. We need to get rid of all the stuff that's in there. And let me just say something. If you've been keeping something for the last 6 months and you've never used it, you probably never ever will use it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. If you haven't used it in the past 6 months, get rid of it. When you get rid of it, you're making room for something new to come in as well. So how do we unclutter our life? I'm talking about physical stuff. I'm talking about uncluttering your life with thoughts. We've got to be focused and purposed and intentional. Hallelujah. Listen, there's a lot that God wants to do in and through your life in 2018. You're not going to do it if you are cluttered with thoughts and memories and circumstances and events. In other words, we have to unclutter our lives emotionally, spiritually, relationally, intellectually, in every area. Unclutter your life. Look at somebody and tell them it's time to unclutter. You know why I say that as well? Because we were never created as human beings to carry all these emotions, all of this stress, all of this weight, all of these burdens. No wonder your heart rate is up. No wonder your BP is 160 over 100. I'm just kidding. No wonder there's smoke coming out of your ears. No wonder you've got ulcers. No wonder you're breaking out in boils and all kinds of stuff. No wonder your hair is falling out of your head, because we were never created to carry all of this stress. All right? Remember, God is a God of what? Specifics. Hallelujah. Being specific is being intentional. So we're going to, and you know what? The best way to unclutter your life, can I tell you what it is? Won't cost you a single cent. You don't have to go to any psychiatrist, lay on the couch, you know. You don't have to go to any dis-chem or any pharmacy and buy some pharmaceutical drugs. The best way to unclutter is just to simply forgive and release. And I want to say that because some of you have been holding on to grudges and things that happened. Some of them happened in 1902 as well. And you're still holding on to that thing. And you cannot be specific. Your faith cannot be specific. Your prayers are no longer specific. In fact, you're worshiping. It's hard for you to worship because you're carrying all of these things in your heart. And that is simply not of God. So look at somebody and tell them, forgive and release. Now, I didn't say forgive and then don't forget. I forgive you, brother, but I'll never forget what you did to me. No. Forgive and release. Amen. Number two, here's another hack. Major on the majors and not on the minors. I don't know why people love to major on minors. They major on minors and minor on majors. Like as if you don't have enough problems with the majors. If you just concentrate on the major, that will be stressful enough. But it's like people are saying, no, I need more stress. I need to major on the majors, but can we throw in the minors as well? Because I need my heart rate to go up. I've got one ulcer, two will be better. I don't know what it is. Just major on the majors and don't major on the minors. Can you say amen? Amen. And a minor is really a molehill. You've heard the expression, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. A mole is exactly that. A mole, you look at it and you say, is that what you are? You can kick it down and you can walk right over it. It's a non-issue. It's actually a non-essential. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Don't major on something that is not supposed to be majored on. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. See, now even if you hear the difference between a major chord and a minor chord, play me a major chord, Wayne. Oh, that sounds good. That's a major chord. Now play me a minor chord. Play me a major chord quickly before I die. Oh, yeah. Praise God. I mean, just in music, if you knew something about music, music will tell you. Don't major on minors, because minors are depressing. Minors, you don't want to get out of bed when you hear a minor chord. I'm staying in bed today. It's a bad day. It's a bad day. My boss is not very happy today. I don't know what's going to happen to me. You like that. Thank you so much. When you build on minors, you are building your life on negative stuff. You're building your life on things that depress you, things that discourage you, things that are distasteful. And you can never build with minors. You can build with majors. The other thing about minors is that it comes as a distraction. So it's the enemy's way of bringing distraction into your life. Okay, now let me just say that minors are there whether you like it or not. There are some things in this life that will always be there. They might annoy you. They might frustrate you. They might cause your blood pressure to go up. But you have got to not pay attention to the minors in your life. Can I get an amen in this place? Those minors are designed to sap you of your energy and to waste your time. Now, I don't know about you, but my time is valuable. Hallelujah. There's only a certain amount of time allocated to you, Cyril. After that time is up, Pastor Danny. Fabian, there's only a certain amount of time that's allocated to you. Hallelujah. Your time is valuable. My time is valuable. Our time is valuable. Minors are designed to sap you of all the energy, put more stress upon your life, right, and to waste your time. What do we have time for? We have time for God, for His Word, for worship, for intimacy. Then I make time for my family, my marriage. I'm not going to let minors come and interrupt my marriage time, my family time. And then I have time for others, which includes friends. And then number four, I have time for myself. Can you say amen? Look at somebody and tell them it's time to unclutter your life. Major on majors and don't major on minors. God is a God of specifics. And He is into the details. Hallelujah.
Friends, I don't like to close a broadcast without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, you're either running God's race or you are not. And the moment you are born again, you qualify to run God's race. So today, perhaps as you are watching, you realize that your life is not right with God. Don't go another day, another moment, another hour, another second without putting right with God. The amazing thing is He is so loving and He loves you unconditionally. It's not based on what you can do or what you can say. His love for you never changes. But you know, as you've been watching, that there are things not right. And right now is a good moment. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for next week. But right now is a divine moment. Heaven is open right now for you to respond to come to Christ. And I know that there are people right now watching that are ready to either recommit their lives to Christ or to come fresh, never having come to Christ before. You can do it right now. Would you bow your heads and say after me, Heavenly Father, I ask You for forgiveness. I repent of my sins. I turn my back right now. I renounce the devil and all of his works. But You, Lord Jesus, I invite into my life right now. I receive eternal life and the forgiveness of all of my sins. Thank You for Your precious blood that cleanses me. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for giving me another opportunity. And I come to You. I open every part of my life. And Jesus, with my heart I believe, and with my mouth I confess that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'll never be the same. From this day onwards forever, I belong to You and You belong to me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Friend, I'm so glad that you've prayed that prayer. It's just a prayer of faith. It's a simple prayer. But I do believe that God heard the cry of your heart and that right now you're a child of God. And this is a time to celebrate. We'd like to celebrate this decision with you. So would you be so kind as to let us know what's happened in your life. Let us know if this is the first time you prayed this prayer, or if you have any other prayer requests. Right now, the details are coming on your screen, or you can even SMS us your prayer request as well. We do have that facility available. And we're just so glad to be able to join our faith together with your faith and believe God for a miracle just for you. Well, that's about it. We've run out of time. Until next time, God bless you. And remember, Jesus loves you so very much, and so do we.
Besides the Jesus Dome services at Mayville, Durban Christian Center has satellite campuses in Phoenix, Berea, Hillcrest, Chatsworth, Wentworth, and the Bluff. For further details about these venues and service times, please contact us on 031-242-5000 or visit our webpage at durbanchristiancenter.com. And now we wish you a blessed week. Please remember to like us on Facebook or visit our website for more information about DCC, our church, our home. Durban Christian Center is now on WhatsApp. That's right, we are on WhatsApp. So if you would like to send your prayer requests or a testimony, simply voice note us on 082-935-3912. To stay up to date with events, sermon videos, podcasts, live groups, and many more, be sure to download the Durban Christian Center app, which is available on the App Store and Google Play Store.
Jesus, your love endures. Jesus, your love endures. Jesus, your love.